Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 3 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 21. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, would you speak to us? We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV, as always. And just as a quick aside, I say this from time to time. If you wonder why I read from the NIV, it's because I find it the most easily readable translation over the air. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. If you have your favorite translation, I encourage you as you're reading through this or listening to it on the Bible app, I encourage you to flip around. If you're reading this 10 times in 10 weeks, which again, we highly encourage, then change translations every 3 or 4 times that you read through it and see how that changes. Because the original language, of course, was not English. It was Greek and Hebrew for the Bible. So in the case of 1 Corinthians, it was Greek. Now, Paul thought in Hebrew, primarily in Hebrew. He could speak Greek and Hebrew, so he might have actually been able to think in his mother tongue of Greek, but you know, you never know. So if you've ever, you know, done languages, if you've ever tried to learn new languages, or if you've ever crossed a culture and actually transitioned to new languages, you know there's a lot to that. And so Paul is writing this or having this written in Greek. And then we've translated into Latin, and then some translations get translated from Latin into English, and other translations go directly from the Greek, and some come take into account old source texts and all these things. So there's a lot that goes into translation. It's not easy. But when we look at a lot of the translations that we have in English, you can see where some of the difficulties that they have in translating things comes in. So I use NIV, not because they pay me or because it's even my favorite translation necessarily, but because I feel like it's the easiest to read on air. And that's it. So if you have a different translation you like, go with that. If you don't, listen in NIV and then maybe, you know, switch around as you're going through this. Okay, with that, let's jump into 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 13. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So again, Paul is speaking about using tongues in a corporate setting. They are not always appropriate in a corporate setting because nobody can understand what you say. If you're praying out loud in a tongue, your spirit may be praying. You may actually be communing with the Holy Spirit. It may be a supernatural thing that's going on, but your mind is completely unfruitful while you're doing it, and no one else can understand. So Paul is saying, and I believe he's also transitioning here to what many people consider the devotional gift of tongues. And in the end, there's no biblical distinction made between a devotional gift of tongues and a supernatural gift of tongues where someone gets what I've referred to as the gift of ears. You know, they can understand it. There's no distinction ever made in Scripture about those two types of tongues. And so don't take that as the gospel truth according to anything. That's just what it appears when you read this, that there are two types of tongues or that it's expressed in two different ways. But that's not explicitly stated in Scripture. So Paul here is saying, and again, with this, what I believe he's discussing the devotional gift of tongues, he's saying that I pray in my spirit, but he it's unfruitful. He doesn't understand what he's saying. So he also prays with his understanding. He may sing in the spirit, meaning singing in tongues, but he's also going to sing with his understanding. He's going to sing real words. And like I mentioned before, praying in tongues can be incredibly helpful, but if it's all you ever do, then it really doesn't take you anywhere. Praying in tongues can be incredibly helpful to jumpstart you when your mind is blank, when you don't want to pray, you don't feel like praying, you don't have any words to pray. Praying in tongues can be a jumpstart for your spirit to engage with the Lord and then begin to give you language, actual language with your understanding to be able to pray. If all you ever do is pray in tongues, then Paul here is saying that it's actually going to be unfruitful for you. So it's designed to be maybe a stopgap or a jumpstart for your prayer life so that you can keep going. Because all too often we pray, we want to pray longer, and we just peter out. And the more time you can spend in prayer, fellowshipping and communing with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, the closer you're going to grow to Him, the more your mind is going to be filled with His mind, with His thoughts, with His words. So prayer is so vitally important in the lifeblood of a believer in the church. And that's where the gift of tongues can come in handy. But if it's all you ever do, it may just be a crutch that doesn't help you. Verse 16, otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one is edified. Again, tongues in a corporate setting. If you're shouting out or singing out your tongues, it can be helpful to kind of jumpstart you, but it doesn't help anyone else. And so maybe don't use it publicly so much. Again, Paul's not saying don't ever do it publicly. He's just saying go easy on it. Go easy on the whole gift of tongues things in a public setting, because it doesn't really help anybody much unless you've got something really crazy going on and everybody gets the gift of ears, or somebody actually can interpret it and speak out what it means, that kind of thing. And then here's the kicker, verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul is kind of laying down some ground rules for using tongues in public, and he's also speaking about how he uses it in private as well. And then he makes a very, very bold statement that he's pretty confident that he prays in tongues more than anybody in the church of Corinth. What we take away from this is that Paul prays in tongues a lot. So far from encouraging people to not do this or discouraging people from praying in tongues, Paul is saying, pray in tongues, but don't only pray in tongues. He's like, I know a little something about this because I do it more than any of you. So I get why you would do it. Paul gets why he should pray in tongues a lot. And I believe it is because it's that jump start. It's that stopgap. It gets you going. When you hit one of those lulls, you start praying in tongues, and it gets you back re-engaged with the Holy Spirit to pray even more. It can be important. And Paul here is saying it is important. But verse 19, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others with 10,000 words in a tongue. So there you go again. This is one of the places we get that distinction between the corporate gift of tongues versus the private gift of tongues. Paul seems to be making that distinction here, is that he speaks in tongues more than anybody, but when he's in a church setting, he'd rather speak just 5 regular words, even probably if they're not prophetic, than 10,000 words in a tongue, because 10,000 words of something no one can understand is really just a waste of time. And so Paul is admonishing them to pray in tongues like he does. Use it privately and use it publicly very sparingly under very certain conditions. And then he finishes this thought right here, verse 20, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. That's going to be a segue into what we're going to get into tomorrow. But one of the things that can happen with the gift of tongues, with any spiritual gifts, is we can use them to manipulate and abuse people. And Paul very quickly is saying, don't ever do that. Don't do that. That in regard to anything evil, if you've got any malintent, if you've got any jealousy, anything like that, be like babies. Just put it away, get rid of it. But when you're thinking, when you're using your brain, when you're actually trying to process things, grow up quickly. So let your sin be as if, or your sinful nature, be as if you're a baby, where you've got no malice or malintent toward anybody else, no jealousy because they have the gift of prophecy or healing or they pray in tongues more than you, anything like that. Don't go there. Be like an infant when it comes to that. But when you think, when you're processing, when you're engaging with the Holy Spirit and all these things, be adults. Use your brain. Use your brain to process through these things. I've heard, you know, people say sometimes, you know, the fun phrase, well, they're just so open-minded that their brains fall out. We don't need to be that way. We don't need to be that way, but we also don't need to be so skeptical and so cynical that we never believe anything, that we're never open to the Lord moving in any way. Yes, use discernment. Use discernment. But don't be cynical. Maybe a healthy level of skepticism. I've had friends chastise me for saying that. They say I should use the word discernment. You can use either one, I suppose. It comes down to semantics, but you want to be discerning when you see activity of the Holy Spirit or so-called activity of the Holy Spirit. But don't be cynical. Don't let your heart become so hardened that they're just charlatans or they're just doing it for money. They're just this or they're just that. And that's not real. That the Lord doesn't do that. Don't be so cynical that you would write off things that may actually be the Holy Spirit. But don't be so open-minded and foolish that things that absolutely aren't the Holy Spirit lead you down a bunny trail in life that will just lead to pain and misery and destruction. Don't do either one of those. Just follow the Holy Spirit and be open to His movement and His leading in your life and in the life of the church. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.